Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, 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 everyone. Once again, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know what time it is. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm, as always, I'm joined by my fellow Jersey guy, Jeff the Joker, and this is the FSP Crew Show. We got a great show in store for you tonight. We got a photographer, and you'll be surprised where this photographer does her professional business, for one. And we're going to have some interesting questions for her. We're also going to be talking about some baseball and some NFL, and along with that, some NBA playoffs. And without further ado, let me bring in my esteemed co-host, Jeff, and then we can take it from there because we do have our guest on the line right now. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry. What's going on with you?
All right. All right, without further ado, I don't want to have her waiting too long because we don't have her for too long. She is from L.A. She graduated from California State University, Northridge, and she has been in the entertainment business for a little bit, to say the least, and she's been doing quite a bit from what I see of her bio, but I'm not going to talk too much about it. I'm going to bring her in. And then we're going to do from there. Hello from the 818. I guess we have Cassie Athena on air, and welcome to the show, Cassie.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
All right, all right. Well, Cassie, I'm not even going to ask you your age. We're not going to get into that, but it seems like from what I'm seeing here from your website, which is CassieAthena.com,
yep.
You've been doing quite a bit, and you have you do a lot of multi-texting. I can see that. You do a lot of print, and you do a lot of photos that you'd like to do. Tell us about
right.
How you got into those different. Where'd you acquire the taste of drawing, painting, and taking pictures before we transition to something else?
Well, my whole life I've really been into it. My parents are both creative. My dad's a musician. My mom likes to draw. And I kind of just, you know, picked up stuff here and there. And I always liked taking pictures. And then as I started to get older and got into college, I played college basketball. And I was also an art major. So a lot of my teachers would encourage me to use like the basketball team as practice for my art project, and that's kind of how those two worlds mix together, and I just kept going from there.
Well, I see you are you stand over me. I'm only 5'7". I'm a short guy compared to you. You're like 6 feet tall, and you did play volleyball and basketball. Were you any good at either one of those sports?
Volleyball, yeah, that was my main sport, and and then I got a really bad knee injury in high school, and I switched over to basketball, which I discovered I like watching basketball much more than playing it. But, you know, I was all right. I was the tallest one on the team, so, you know, I always had to be like the post player, but it was still okay.
All right. Well, you graduated from college with a BA in art, and then you got into the entertainment industry. And from what I'm seeing here, you've been on some famous TV shows and movies. Give us an idea or a quick rundown of some of the things that you've accomplished up until this point, because we're going to talk about your photography and what you're doing now.
Okay, well, right after I finished college, I got into visual effects as a coordinator / producer, and I used to work on a lot of TV shows, Once Upon a Time, True Blood, Magic City, different stuff like that, and for movies, I worked on different movies as well, and then a lot of that industry started moving up to Canada, and, you know, my company had offered me to move up there, but there was no basketball team where it was going, and I love basketball, so I kind of decided to part ways with them and continue to get into, you know, doing basketball stuff, and that's how the Drew League came around, and I really started transitioning into, like, entertainment stuff. I used to do a lot of college stuff. Like I said, I used to take a lot of pictures and videos of college players, and then when I found out about the Drew League, it was just, like, it was, like, unreal. It was this little place in L.A., full of, like, A-list celebrities and, you know, NBA stars and all kinds of stuff. So that's kind of how I transitioned from doing entertainment stuff, like, behind the scenes to being more interactive one-on-one with the actual people.
Okay. Well, speaking of sports, you've had things published in Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports, Dime Magazine, Slam Magazine, NBA, Under Armour, and the list goes on and on. How did you or able to get things your work seen in those name magazines?
Well, one of my favorite things to do is networking. And like I said, during the NBA lockout, when there was just a lot of media wanting NBA content, nobody was delivering it. And since I was down at the Drew League, I was able to interact with people from Dime Magazine or Sports Illustrated and, you know, different stuff. And people saw my work and, you know, some of the writers would be like, hey, you know, maybe we can use some of your photos for our articles. And, you know, it was kind of just, you know, being at the right place at the right time and getting those opportunities, you know. And then I work really hard at making personal connections with people and sending my pictures directly to them. So, you know, that's how I get the support of people like The Game and Nick Young and other people that have really supported and helped my career out as well.
Now, are you an official photographer for the Drew League, or how? Tell me how that came about. Are you an unofficial photographer, or what is it?
Yeah, no, I'm the official photographer. This is my fourth year working for the Drew League. I went up there, took pictures, contacted them on Twitter, and the next week they said, do you want to be our photographer? And I said, yeah. So now it was in 2011. So it's been a few years. Now Nike's really taking the Drew League to another level as far as, like, really promoting it and making it, you know, have a different look. And still am involved with everything. I'm down there every single weekend. I'm taking pictures. So it's been... That has been one of the coolest experiences, and watching the Drew League really grow from almost like a small program. And when I started, it had already been its like 37th year, and now this is its 46th year. So it's really taken off to a whole nother level now.
Jeff?
Okay. Being from L.A., very curious about, you know, the big talk for the past few weeks has been about the Clippers. What are your feelings about the Clippers situation?
I mean, I try to, you know, I have a lot of friends who play on the Clippers, so, like this whole situation that happened was really unfortunate, especially the timing, because I feel like they could have really stuck with it a lot longer, but, you know, it's really hard when there's a lot of distractions. As far as, like, all the politics going on with it, like, I don't really have a opinion about what should be done, because, you know, I try not to get into all that stuff, but I just really want to see in the long run. I don't want the Clippers to leave L.A. I want the players to feel comfortable enough. Like, I want them to feel loved, and, you know, I'm definitely, like, I understand what it's like. There's a lot of race stuff where I deal with. I'm white, and I'm around all different races all the time, and I'm like the first person that's against any kind of racism. So I definitely, you know, don't agree with any of that kind of stuff. But I want to see the Clippers do well as far as, like, the players, you know, the people behind the scenes that I know that work there. So,
well, I mean, that's one of the things I see that on your website, that you're an official photographer for the Clippers. How did that come about?
I had worked for Fox Sports as an official NBA photographer for, you know, a couple games, but I'm not the official Clipper photographer per se, but I've worked through other outlets to take pictures at the Clippers. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. You're an official photographer for an NBA game, or is this a regular gig that you have on an NBA season?
No, it was just a couple games. It hasn't been anything permanent, but what happened was is the people at Fox Sports knew that one of my dreams was to shoot for the NBA, so they gave me the opportunity to shoot for my first game working as, like, an official, you know, hired photographer, and then they documented my experience of shooting my first game. So it was kind of like a whole mixture of me shooting my first game, them documenting it, and that's how that all came about.
All right, we do have Mike Wright on the line now. And Mike, say hello to Kathy, and I'm pretty sure you got a few questions that you want to ask her.
Hey, what's going on, Kathy? How you doing?
Hey, good. How's it going, Mike?
Doing good. Now, were you up in D.C.? I noticed you mentioned the lockout. I was able here to listen a little bit at work. Were you up here in D.C. during the first lockout game for the Drew versus the Goodman League?
Yeah, I was able to fly out there and take pictures at that game. And like, you know, that game kind of kicked off all those games for that summer. So, yeah, I definitely was a part of that game for the Drew League taking pictures. So that was real cool.
That's crazy because I should have talked to Chris. Had I known you were coming up here, I would have got the interview early. That's just crazy.
Yeah, it's a small world.
you got anything else, Black?
You're working on a video shoot now, right?
Yeah, I'm going back and forth working on. I did the games video last night. Today I'm working on some other stuff, so I've been trying to be all over it.
Well, let me ask you. You're working on a video shoot. I hope it's not someone blowing in someone's ear like what took place last night. give me your thoughts.
Kind of
you filmed a NBA game before. Give me your thoughts. You're sitting on the sidelines at the under the basket or wherever you're at on off the court, and you're watching a professional NBA player blowing in the ear of another professional NBA player. What are your thoughts?
I mean, when I first saw the video, I thought it was really funny. You know, I don't even really know. I mean, I guess it's just trying to get into his head mentally, and it comes down to kind of doing whatever you can that isn't going to get you in trouble, but, you know, still mess with them. So, you know, it's all a mind game. I thought it was kind of funny and a little awkward looking when they showed it in slow motion, but, you know, I guess that's some of those strategies.
So what's your video shoot about net today?
It's just I've been doing a lot of behind the scenes. I do a lot of behind the scenes pictures on like music video shoots. So it's really the stuff today. Like I don't know if I can really say who it's for, but I've been, you know, I'll do a lot of behind the scenes. I don't shoot music videos myself, but I do videos. I have like a web series that I started called Through the Lens, and you know, it's to give like a behind-the-scenes look at a lot of the NBA players that I have like, you know, personal relationships with. I feel like a lot of people don't get to see the positive side. You know, everybody likes all the gossip and all the negative. So I kind of try to take people behind the scenes and show, you know, look, these people are a lot like you. They're really down to earth. They're really cool, despite what you read in the media. So that's, I definitely try to be everywhere I can and showing like a different perspective than people are used to seeing.
Well, let me ask you this. You approach an NBA player and you propose doing something like this, like doing a behind-the-scenes video of him. How do you gain the trust of an NBA player that's in high profile or, you know, because NBA players basically are high profile. How do you gain the trust of someone like that to be able to let you do that?
That's a good question. You know, I don't right away ask them if I could film them because I know for the most part they would probably not feel very comfortable unless they knew me. So What I just try to do is I try to be really consistent with, you know, being around them. I've kind of now established my name. Like, when I first started taking pictures around all these guys, they didn't really, like, know who I was. They're a little maybe, you know, skeptical. But, you know, I just kept growing my trust, and then everybody knows each other. So it's kind of like I'm real cool with a few people, then they spread a good word, and they spread a good word. So a lot of my reputation right now is kind of word of mouth as far as, like, you know, people can vouch for me and say, like, okay, Cassie's not going to do anything to make you look bad. I go out of my way to make them know, and whatever I film, I'll show them before I edit it. And it's just, you know, like a, how you make friends in general. You just kind of have to gain their trust and just show that you're not going to do anything bad. And I don't really have a reputation for exploiting or trying to show any kind of stuff. And I have footage and pictures that could potentially make certain people look, you know, bad. Those pictures, you know, never get released. I guess they're taking a risk, but, you know, I'm not going to let them down either. Because if I do, then there goes my reputation, too. So.
Okay. Jeff?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right on the money about that. Because, you know, if, you know, you have that type of access, you could embarrass somebody, but then there goes your rep. So I think you're right on the money with that. You know, a good example I can think of is when I was a kid, the rock band Kiss was huge, and nobody knew what they looked like because they performed in makeup. And they were able to pull it off. They were, you know, they were probably the most popular rock group at the time, and they were able to pull it off, they said, because there were certain photographers they worked with, and these guys knew if they published a photo of them without their makeup, that's it. There goes all those great photo sessions with the top rock band, you know, so
right. That
made it easy. You know, the fact that you're from LA, you know, the LA area, I find that interesting. Myself and Jerry are from the New York area, and similarity sports-wise is that both markets have two teams in some sports. Except football in L.A., sorry about that. And I think other markets can't quite relate to that. You know what I mean? My interpretation with the two sport, you know, two teams in every sport in New York is, like, usually there's kind of like the big brother and the little brother. You know, like, since we're talking about hoops, the Knicks – they've only won two NBA championships, but that's two more than the Nets. And that's and it would take a Nets dynasty for that to change. And especially now, Nets are in Brooklyn. Before that, they were in New Jersey. The Knicks were in Manhattan, and that's, you know, it's not the capital of the U.S. It's like the capital of the world. No matter what, I think it would never change. It would take a lot to change. And I'm curious, is it like that with the Lakers and the Clippers and with the baseball teams in LA?
I think for a long time, I mean, the Lakers are, you know, one of the greatest franchises in the world. So it's definitely like with the Clippers, you know, trying to compete with that, it's been obviously really difficult until the past few years when they really started picking up a lot of their teams. And, you know, now with the unfortunate situation that the Lakers have been in the past couple years and the Clippers have kind of, like, outshined them. So it's interesting seeing how, you know, the Clippers have sort of been, like how you worded it, like the little brother, you know, to the Lakers. And now they're kind of outshining the Lakers. So it's been... it's been an interesting transition, and I feel at the end of the day, and it might be the same with baseball. I don't follow them as much, but I know there's, like, the Angels and the Dodgers, and people are pretty passionate. There's the fans that stay true to just one team, but then I feel collectively a lot of people tend to just be fans of L.A. You know, there's UCLA, USC, Lakers, Clippers. There's so many really good teams that are in L.A. There's, like, a group of people that tend to support L.A. in general. So it's a mixture of both, I would say.
Well, let me ask you something. Since you're from L.A., I don't know how much traveling you do outside of California, but what is the allegiance? Who do you hang your hat with as a fan in the NBA?
My number one team has always been the Lakers. I definitely, you know, even through the bad times, the good times, I'm a Lakers fan. But at the same time, I definitely love the Clippers. I have a lot, and a lot of Lakers fans will tell you that's like sacrilegious. Like, you can't like both teams. But I definitely like the Clippers. I have a lot of friends in the NBA in general, so I tend to, you know, have love for a lot of different teams throughout the league. But at the end of the day, if I had to choose one, I'd probably do the Lakers.
Okay. All right. We have a couple of callers in here. Let me just bring one caller in and see if he's got something to say. Caller from the 202, welcome to the FSP Crew Show. We have Cassie Athena as our guest. Do you have a question for her? What's up?
Yeah, I got a question for her. I was wondering, right, you know your man Chris Bosh, he's known for getting, you know, he gets caught slipping a lot with photos, you know, circulating around the Internet. And I was wondering, do you have a stash of junk with him, or did you ever catch him slipping?
No, don't answer that. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Don't answer that.
I don't even have pictures of Chris Bosh.
I got a real question, though, because I don't want you to mess up your promotion or nothing. But who you think gonna take the finals this season?
I definitely, it's kind of hard to tell right now. I mean, on the East Coast, I like the Pacers a lot, which I don't know how that's going to turn out. The Heat's been pretty good. And then on the West, I like the Thunder, you know, out of the team. So I would say I would like to see the Pacers versus the Thunder. And then at the end, I don't know, like, I guess the West, since I'm from the West, I guess I'll say the Oklahoma Thunder. But my team's already out of it, so to me it doesn't really make a difference.
Oh yeah, I don't know if Silver agree with that. You know, his script is seemed to look a little different, but I feel you though.
Cassie, let me ask you something. I had to ask you previously. Do you do exclusively in California, or do you travel nationwide?
You know, I've been building my name so I can keep traveling, but last year I flew out to New York, actually, to shoot the Elite 24 for Under Armour. And, you know, I've done a lot of off-season basketball stuff in Vegas. So I went to New Orleans for All-Star Weekend. So I've been, you know, starting to travel more. But it seems like everyone comes to L.A., especially in the off-season. So I don't have to do too much traveling.
Well, that sounds like you're biased about California, especially L.A. Is that right?
I mean, until I can start traveling, I don't have much of an option, I guess. So.
Okay.
But I'm just saying it's convenient that a lot of people tend to be here. So, you know, I would love to travel. I mean, shoot, I want to come out to, you know, see all the, you know, Record Park and Dykeman League and all that stuff in New York. But, you know, one day when I can, I'd love to be out there too.
Oh, you got to come out here when it's in middle of January, February. That's really one
no,
of the best time to be at.
In that case, I'm a true California girl. I like sunshine. So.
We have one more other guy, and I'm not sure if he's going to ask you a question, but we're going to bring him in here.
Okay.
Welcome, Macau. We have Cassie Athena on the line. Do you have a question for her?
Oh, no. I'm just happy there's some women up in this sausage party. She sounds sexy as I don't know what, too.
Oh, boy, here we go. Here we go. I knew that had it. One of us had to go there, and it unfortunately was the last caller. Anyway, Cassie, what's in the future for you in the up-and-coming months or years, for that fact? What are you looking to do in your future?
Right now, I mean, I never really thought that photography would take me this far. So I'm almost just going with the flow and seeing where it can take me. But, you know, I've been experimenting more with, you know, doing interviews, you know, being in front of the camera, being more personable with, you know, in front of the camera stuff as well as doing, you know, behind the scenes stuff. So, you know, like I said, I have my blog and my web series, and I'll be shooting the Drew League all summer long, and you know, just kind of seeing where it'll all take me. But right now I'm kind of open to whatever happens.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go around the horn to see if anybody else has got a question or two for you, and then we'll get you out of here. Jeff.
What football team, NFL team, would you like to see move to L.A.?
Ooh, that's a good one. I honestly don't follow football that much, probably because we don't have a team. So I don't know. I guess I would say it doesn't really make a difference to me. I mean, I've heard rumors about, like, you know, the teams in Northern California coming down or wherever, but I don't know. I can't really say one team I'd love to have yet. It doesn't really make a difference to me as far as which team comes to L.A., but it'd be nice to have a team in L.A., so.
At least you're honest. And do you watch USC football?
I'm really like a basketball head. I think I watch basketball more than anything else. Like, I'll watch, you know, games here and there, but nothing like super fan or anything.
and you know, there's a lot of sports besides the major sports. I mean, you mentioned that you played volleyball. Are there any other, outside of the major well-known sports, are there any other sports that you follow or photograph that aren't, you know, the major ones?
Not really. If I do stuff outside of basketball, it tends to be, like, you know, random stuff from, like, portraits to nightclub to photo shoots. I've been shooting with, like, Terrell Owens a lot and doing a lot of, you know, off-season NFL players, you know, shooting pictures like that. But it's not official games or anything, but just kind of getting a feel for the sport. So I've been trying to experiment with different stuff, but with the basketball world, I'm just, like, so consumed in that world right now. I've been getting into a lot of high school basketball, too, so...
Yeah, well, basketball's a great sport, and obviously you know that. And I saw on your website that you speak Serbian and Croatian, and I like languages. I don't know those two, but I do. Have you ever been able to use that with NBA players? I think there's a couple of guys who speak those languages in the NBA.
Yeah, actually, there's quite a few. I mean, they used to be more in L.A., like Vlade Divac.
Right.
Marco Yadić, those kind of guys. You know, there's a guy on the Golden State Warriors I met recently who's from Serbia. You know, they tend to be all over. For the most part, it's like a secret language because nobody really speaks it out here. There's been a lot of big, you know, Serbian players, Peja Stojakovic, and it helps. You know, you can kind of talk. It usually throws them off because I look like some random, you know, girl from L.A., and then I start speaking foreign language, so... You know, it's pretty cool, though, but it hasn't really, you know, been super prominent in me making connections with anybody.
But, yeah, believe me, I'm sure those guys enjoy getting to speak their native language. It's a lot more comfortable for people, and it's something that most people enjoy.
Right.
And it's good that you mentioned that on, you know, your website, you know, because it's something that could come up once in a while. Yeah, if you come out to the East Coast, I think you could find more people, not a lot, but maybe a few more. I actually knew a few Serbian guys when I lived in Patterson. And remember years ago, the late Drazen Petrovic played for the Nets. And he passed away, unfortunately, but they retired his number, and it's still hanging from the rafters. So he's very well remembered by Net fans. I'm a Knicks fan, but, you know, I know a little bit about the Nets, so...
Well, let me ask you, Cassie, Serbia and Croatia, how did you come to study those languages? Where did that come from?
My mom is actually born in Serbia. So,
okay.
And then former Yugoslavia, you know, Bosnia, Croatia, like all those countries over there, the language is pretty similar. So I grew up spending a lot of time, you know, at my grandparents' house. They only spoke Serbian, so I just picked it up. I'll go out there every summer and, you know, hang out. So I just really took an interest in really learning the language. My dad is American, so he speaks English only, but I just really enjoyed knowing another language, and I try to, you know, use it as much as I can. And It seems kind of random, but it's actually my mom is from there, so that's why I know it.
Okay. Black, what do you got for Cassie?
Yes, sir. First, I want her to talk to Dino for me, a good friend of ours, Dino Smiley, head of the Drew, and see if we can't get this Goodman and Drew League thing kicked off again, like something annual, where we'll take a trip and you guys will take a trip. That was fun during the lockout. Great times, met a lot of great people. Tell Chris what's up for me, but my question is, have you done a Through the Lens yet with either James Harden or John Wall?
Not yet. I haven't had a chance to. I did talk to John about it. It's really about having the players in LA and having time for, you know, spend a day with me where I could really, you know, film them and everything. So, you know, those guys, they're open to it. I've talked to them. It's just more about getting them actually in front of the camera for a day. That's the hardest part. So this summer, though, I've really lined up a lot more people, and I should be able to film a lot of, you know, bigger names that people might not expect. So it'll be good, though.
All right, no problem. So, Chris and Dino, I said hello. And don't forget to put that bug in Dino's air for me.
Oh, yeah,
appreciate
will
you
do.
For coming on.
No problem.
All right, guys. How about Macau? Do you have anything that you want to ask Cassie before she gets out of here?
Right. I don't. You know, I came in kind of late. Did you say you? She's from California. You're from California?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm from Los Angeles. Yeah.
California girl.
Oh man. Oof. Those California girls, man. Oh.
Oh boy, here we go.
That's all I got. Hold on.
Oh,
all right, I got one question.
Okay. Give me your question. Come on.
I just want to verify if this is a California girl. What is your favorite basketball team, dear?
Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers.
You got to let her answer, man. Come on, man.
I did answer it. You're late.
Okay, yeah, that's a real California girl. All right, sweetheart.
Oh, boy. All right, the other caller, and I didn't get your name, I'm sorry. Do you have something you want to ask Kathy before she gets out of here?
Oh, yeah. It's not really a question. It's more so a comment. I just want to, you know, congratulate you on your career and the success. I wish you even more of it, and, you know, anytime somebody is partaking in a career that doesn't, you know, conform to the typical punch clock thing, you know, it's always great. You're doing what you love. You're doing what you enjoy. And, you know, I just wish you even more success.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I couldn't have said it much better than that. Kathy, if somebody wanted to contact you or give us your particulars, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Yeah, my main thing I just launched a few weeks ago is my website, so it's CassieAthena.com. I have – my Twitter is at CassieAthena. My Instagram, I have two. I have a personal page and a photo page, but my photo page is CassieAthenaPhoto. My Facebook, /CassieAthena. Everything's pretty much CassieAthena, but all the links are from my website. So if you just remember CassieAthena.com, everything's on there. I'm going to be posting all my content, pictures, videos, interviews. Everything will be on there first and foremost. So.
Oh, Kathy.
Check it out.
much success. I really appreciate – we all really appreciate you coming on and spending the time that you spent with us. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Enjoy the sun and fun in California. And hopefully we can have you – somewhere down the road to find out, catch up on whatever else you're doing, even when the Drew League comes about. How's that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I love it. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's great. And I'd love to catch up with you guys again.
All right, people, we've been talking for the last half hour to Cassie Athena. Go to her website, CassieAthena.com, and check her out. And thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you down the road.
All right, cool. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
right. Here we go, guys. I talked about it briefly when we were interviewing Cassie Athena, meaning I'm talking about the ever sexy, always willing, not blowing out candles, not blowing on a flower, but blowing in LeBron James's ear. I'm talking about Lance Stephenson getting up close and personal with LeBron on the basketball court in front of millions, including thousands, in attendance in Indiana watching the game. I'm going to Macau first, then to Jeff, then to Black, and lastly, my man, to give your thoughts on what the hell was Lance Stephenson thinking about. He's just been constantly trying to get in LeBron James's head, and I think it's a bad idea. Give me your thoughts there. Talk to me.
I really didn't see nothing wrong with it. I honestly didn't. I thought it was hilarious, but you know, that's what you gotta do. This dude is the best player on the planet. And it's no denying that. I mean, you can go, you know, one-on-one with him as much as you want to. You know what I'm saying? You're going to lose, so you're going to have to try to find some kind of head. You got to get in his head. You know, it's a part, and you get, and Black could probably back me up. It's probably about a half a million dudes like that in D.C. right about now. About a half a million of them. No doubt. Would do that type stuff. So that's why it's like, you know, that's like par for the course. But, you know, on the national stage, yeah, it's buffoonery. Yeah, but I get what he's trying to do. I mean, he can't get him no other way. I mean, how else he going to get in his head? You know, what he going to do, talk trash, talk about his mama on the floor? I mean, he's going to have to do something because I ain't seen one player on that Indiana team that can do anything with him at all. Maybe Hibbert could, detour his shot, but that's about it. That's about it.
Who's up next?
I think me. If not, I'm sorry. You know, I think Mikhail hit it right on the head. I mean, I think it's fairly obvious. It's an attempt to try to, you know, get into LeBron James' head, which that's a part of basketball. It's been that way for a long time. I mean, I just saw a great documentary on the Detroit Pistons' Bad Boys teams, and, you know, they drove James Worthy nuts. Well, actually, they drove a lot of guys nuts. But the thing is, and Bill Laimbeer would say, hey, you know, I'm not the most talented basketball player. I'm not a great athlete, but I could win the mental aspect, and some of that is, the psychological thing, whatever. But, this is LeBron James. You think, you know, you're going to say something or do something to him that nobody's tried before? And the thing is, and this is something about, you know, the great teams and the great players, frequently they're strong between the ears, you know. And that's one of the reasons they're successful. And I think, LeBron probably falls into that category. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders because, like I said, I'm sure guys tried saying stuff about his mom, his girl, this, that, whatever. I don't think it works because, he he's got it together mentally and physically, you know. That's why he's one of the reasons he's great.
All right. Who's up? Black?
Oh, man. Lance Stephenson would have been better off grabbing Michael Sam out of the crowd and letting Michael Sam do that as opposed to him trying to do that. Because there's no way that's going to work against LeBron, man. LeBron doesn't go off that. But it was a good attempt, though.
All right, my man, talk to me.
Yeah, I'm with Black on that one, man. It was a good attempt, but, you know, LeBron's been on this level for quite a while now. And, you know, Stephenson, It actually reminds me of another Stevenson from a couple of seasons ago that tried to get on the head and got burned up, and that's probably what's going to happen next game. LeBron is going to make that dude famous, man.
I wonder if they brothers do look alike, though.
Besides doing what he was doing and blowing on LeBron, he also did a crazy move that you don't see too often, especially in a playoff game. The Miami coach had a couple of players in the huddle from the Miami Heat, but he also had Lance Stevens step right into the huddle. It's a picture on I think I saw it on Yahoo, with Lance Stevenson standing next to Eric Bolster, along with two other Miami Heat players. And the coach is talking to his players, and Lance Stevenson is acting like he's one of those players that he's getting instruction from his coach. I mean, and this guy's been talking and chirping all playoff, especially with the Heat. And then he comes out and does these two things in his last game. Now, blowing, I understand that. I used to chirp quite a bit when I played basketball when I was younger. And did a lot of crazy things just to get into somebody's head. So I understand that. Why would you just? I mean, he's standing right next to the coach. It's not like he's two or three steps away. He's a little distance away from the huddle. He's right next to the coach. What sense does that make? Talk to me, Black.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. You're down 3-1. You better run back and tell Vogel something that the Miami coach is doing. Maybe to help your game up.
Anybody want to comment on that? Just feel free to jump in there, because I mean, I'm surprised that either the players or the coach didn't say, get the hell out of here.
I'm not surprised that they did. Like I told you the last time we talked, Jerry, this Miami team is so mentally tough for the Indiana Pacers. I don't think they're ever going to get over this hump unless they break this mob up, or unless, you know, D-Wade get hurt or something. But mentally, when they got – they just dead, you know. And no matter what type of irritation that Stevenson does, it's not going to work. But I can truly understand why he's doing it. If I'm out there playing against the best in the world, and he just, you know, coming down the jump, dunking on me, shooting threes, pass dishing, getting in the paint, doing whatever he want to do, I got to do something. And you know what I'm saying? Because he's beating me. You know, I got to do something. So, I mean, I thought it was hilarious. I was crying laughing, right? But I thought Miami handled it perfectly. They just ignored it. They were real classy, and I'm really proud of LeBron. You know, he almost messed it up in the interview, you know, afterwards. But I can give him a pass. You know what I'm saying? But I thought they were really classy, man. And it's just the like I said, it's just the evidence of their mental capacity to stay on top of Indiana, and
they're
gonna stay there.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment?
I think once Larry Bird moved Danny Granger, that was a wrap for Indiana. So they
anybody,
gave one more shot.
Anybody
so
else
want to
jump
shot.
In there?
Yeah, I think it's a sign of desperation, man. Like they reaching to do things just to try to throw Miami off, and they need to watch that, because, you know, Dennis Rodman used to do stuff like that, but he was established by the time he became that type of player. But I'm not sure what Lance Stevenson is supposed to be to the Pacers, but they need to watch it this early in his career, because if that becomes his label, then he's probably going to get away from his offensive game or whatever else he was supposed to, you know, be drafted to do. So they need to watch stuff like that, man. They need to at least, you know, get something under their belt before they start doing stuff like this.
Yeah, but hold up. But they don't have no thug on that team, though, man.
They don't have no who?
They don't got no thug on that team. Not near one of them dudes is thorough like that, for real. Nah.
But see, the thing is, though, they got to establish themselves first. They're already looking unstable, so, you know, now they're looking even more unstable. And they, you know, they barely contending with the Heat, you know. I mean, the referees are helping out a lot, but, you know, it's like when you think Indiana, you think of a circus show, like right now. And, I mean, is that what they really want to be known as?
Okay.
You kind of get what I'm saying? Like, they got a center
right.
that routinely puts up 0 points. They got Lance Stevenson who likes blowing in people's ear and, you know, being on Instagram photos. So it's like, you know, I'm thinking, are y'all going to be a championship team or are y'all going to be, you know, victims of black on Facebook pictures? You know, that's all I'm saying, man. You got to focus on winning games instead of trying to get in people's heads. You got to win when you do stuff like that.
All right. Well, speaking of winning, we had all but canceled this team out for this season and crowned the San Antonio Spurs as the team coming out of the West. And lo and behold, Serge Ibaka comes back in the third game, and it's like night and day. The first two games in San Antonio looked like the second coming of the one of the best Lakers teams ever. And then when Serge Ibaka comes back, they look like the 2013-2014 Knicks. Can't do anything right. And OKC looks like a completely different team. Now it's 2-2. And they're playing tonight in San Antonio at 9:00. My man, your thoughts, OKC, San Antonio, game 5.
Well, I think the Spurs are clearly the better team this series. I mean, Ibaka's presence, you know, is a strong presence, but I don't think it's going to cause swings like that. You know, that the move that Popovich pulled when he, you know, some people say that it was justifiable. I don't, you know, I think once the game gets within reach in the fourth quarter, that's when you go to your clutch players. But when he kept them out of the game, I think, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, I think that might be a way of maybe stretching out this series, you know, to, you know, reach some deadlines or however you want to word it. But I think that the Spurs are clearly the better team. Like, there's no way that Ibaka, who's not even a known scorer, is going to come in there and, you know, all of a sudden cause blowouts. So, you know, I think, you know, perhaps around maybe tonight, game 6, you know, definitely game 7. Like, the Spurs are going to end up blowing these dudes. I'm a Thunder fan, though. So I want Durant to get one, but, you know, Spurs are just a better team than the Thunder. Thunder have two players, you know, like NBA Jam. That's Westbrook and Durant. Everybody else just get in where they fit in. You're not going to beat the Spurs like that over 7 games. So that's my thought. I think the Spurs are going to get it.
Mikal.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with my man. I mean, all due respect to Kevin Durant. I love him. You know, I would love to see him get it in against the Heat. But I just don't see it, man. The Spurs, they still a better team. You know, they're going to adjust. You know what I'm saying? They got thrown a curveball. Okay, man, come back and adjust in this game. So we're going to see tonight what's up, but I'm still going with the Spurs, and I'm still saying Spurs Heat. Repeat.
Jeff?
Excuse me. Fuck you! Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry. You know, I'll tell you, last year, you know, everybody was talking like the Spurs were like Rocky and Rocky 6.
You know, they're proving, you know, the Warriors, and that they still got it. And here they are again, knocking on the door. And I think, you know, there's three games left, let's say, and tonight is in San Antonio. And if they got to have a game seven, I think it's in San Antonio. So you got to give them a little edge. It's impressive. You know, and I'll tell you that three, the big three of the Spurs are historic. They really are. And it goes to show you how international the sport has become, because obviously Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili are international players. But also Tim Duncan, he did play college ball at Wake Forest, but he was born and raised in the U.S. Virgin Islands. So, you know, those are three international guys. So, and then the three, you know, real serious guys. You know, you don't hear about all the work and dedication that goes on off the court. I like Duncan a lot. I like the way he carries himself. You know, I think he's a humble superstar. He's a real class guy. I like him a lot. You know, the only thing is, yeah, maybe it might be boring to watch another Spurs Miami final, but you know, it looks like that's going to happen now.
Black.
Yeah, I'm here to stop this parade of Spurs love. I don't see how you're going to have the best player on the planet and LeBron and not match him up against the MVP of the league and Kevin Durant. I'm going to follow the script like last year. I go four games to two, OKC.
Four games to two, OKC. But everybody else except for me is thinking that the Heat are going to pull this out. I'm going down with the ship. Mikal knows that. I'm going down with the ship. I'm still going with Indiana Pacers. I still think they can do it. It's going to be a tough road, but we'll see what happens come Friday when they play in L.A. And whatever happens. Well, let me put it this way. I got two conspiracy theorists on here, Jeff and Black. And I talked about this before. And I'm going back to the Miami Heat game for the simple reason is this. I watched bits and pieces of this game, and I'm shaking my head like, they're playing in Indiana. The best player on the planet is constantly in foul trouble. And it's like the script is,
let's call this game another game. It wasn't foul trouble. It was phantom foul trouble.
Okay.
I agree.
Like I said, I was being nice about it. I said he was in foul trouble. And it seems like we can't have this go and end tonight. We got to go and at least one more game. And I said to somebody today, their best player, the Miami Heat, and the best player on the planet, was in foul trouble all night. I said, how much you want to bet that the best player on the Indiana Pacers come Saturday, Sunday, whenever the next game for the Indiana Pacers and the Heat are, that Paul George gets in foul trouble, and the positions are reversed, that LeBron James has gone off like Paul George did last night, and Paul George is in foul trouble. If that happens, you know, Jeff, I have to jump in that boat with you. Because this is like it seems like a movie script versus a real NBA playoff finals. Am I mistaken, or did somebody agree with my train of thought? Jeff, I'm going to you first.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir, my friend. The thing is, I'm not kidding. I actually, a friend of the family was the biggest conspiracy nut ever, and he was probably the first back in the 80s saying that the NBA was all fixed and whatever. And, you know, and unfortunately, all of us folks like that became validated a few years ago after the Tim McConaughey scandal. And, you know, I think might not be as blatant as when McConaughey, but I think some of it exists. I'm just glad, you know, my mother, you know, 75 years old, just started watching basketball, and she likes the Heat. I'm glad that they're the team that's usually going to get the breaks, because she'd be nuts if they got screwed. But the thing is, and this is what leads validity to all, you know, the, you know, conspiracy about the NBA refs, is it's not the bad calls, because you're going to have bad calls, and usually, let's say, in a football game, it usually evens out over the course of a game. If not, it evens out usually over the course of a season. But in the NBA, when you see bad calls, they consistently go in a certain direction, and that's what makes it look like it's possibly corrupt. And, you know, but the thing is, to me, I want to see a game called straight. I hate to say, I mean, I like the Knicks. I'd rather see a game called straight than get a tainted win, you know. But that's me. And you know, let's say, you know, the rationale is it's good for the league, it's good for the sport if a team like Miami wins the finals. But it's not good when there's a lot of talk that the games aren't called straight. So that's just what I feel.
Black.
David Stern made sure to pass off that book of love to Adam Silver, and the will continue. He
my
okay
man.
See, my man. He okay
my man.
See.
My man. You a Heat fan. Talk to me.
I'm a basketball fan. I don't subscribe to an individual team at the moment since Chris Webber hung him up. But I think that these series.
Come on, home to the Wizards, man. Come on, home to the Wizards.
I might have to do that, man. You know, I'm gonna have to do, especially if they're gonna keep getting to the playoffs. I might have to do jump on the squad, man. But I think with this with these playoff series, I don't think that the action is as much scripted as the outcomes are. I think that they're looking to extend the series. You know, they're looking to get as many games as they can out of these series, even when one team is clearly superior to the other. That's as far as I feel this script is going. And, you know, every now and then they'll do something to maybe handicap one team to, you know, make it look realistic. But it's getting obvious to people, man, especially with Hibbert putting out something I read where he said that LeBron told him what he was going to do. I mean, come on, man. Like, I don't know, man. It's just it's becoming entertainment, and you know, if that's what the game gonna be, that's what it's gonna be.
Mikal.
You know, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I just happen to be able to connect the dots really well, so people be thinking I'm a conspiracy theorist. You know what I'm saying?
that's what it is, though.
You know, I can't put that hat on, dog. I can't do it. Cause some people won't take me serious. But if you look at those calls, man, those are some phantom ass calls. I was watching it and I had the DVR on, man. I rewind, John. I was like, oh, where's the foul at? What are they doing? I mean. The joint is dirty, man. It's just dirty. I mean, I agree with my man just who was on just before me. They trying to milk this duck for as much as they can. You know, make the games go longer, make the series go longer. I mean, it's the first time ever that, you know, just everybody in the first round went seven games. I mean, seriously? And come on, man. The Wizards? Come on, man. Come on, man. Seriously?
Hey. Watch them out.
Come on, man. Come on, man. And I mean, but you know, they got it right in the end, you know, and they broke off these DC people's hearts like they always do up this joint, you know. But it's just too dirty, man. It's just ever since that referee that came out, you know, that got locked. He had got locked up and then came back out and wrote a book and did all the stuff. Like, what in the world's going on? Why are we so easily fooled? We've been bamboozled. Let us strike. You know what I'm saying? The basketball didn't land on us. We landed on the basketball court.
All right, well, we happen to be a little bit in overtime, which is fine. I'm going to be ending this show. I want to thank Jeff, Macau, Black, and my man. I always forget your name. What's your name again?
It's C.O. Like,
okay.
Correction Officer. Like Rick Ross.
Yeah, C.O. C.O. I hear you. C.O., I appreciate you once again joining us tonight. Tune in next week, people. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where the same cast of crazy characters will be in the house again. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs for this week. We'll be catching up on it this time next week. And with that being said, we are out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport.